Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome, everyone, to a very special edition of Husker Headlines here, where we're focusing specifically on Nebraska basketball and the impressive season that is to date, heading into Minneapolis for the Big Ten tournament. Robin Washit here with Steve Sippel, and you've noticed the Sean Callahan is not here. He's probably out in a Hawaiian beach throwing back some Mai Tais right now, sir.
Yeah, probably. He's with his daughters, though, so he's not getting too wild. Well, and his wife.
Either way, he's probably doing it a little better than we are right
but
now.
Well, we're doing just fine. I mean, you know what we're doing? We're doing March Madness.
We are doing March
Madness. And we're doing legitimate March Madness.
First time in a long time.
How about that? Let's bring in the...
March Madness, we have with us today a very special guest, the man himself, head coach of the University of Nebraska men's basketball team, Fred Hoiberg. Coach, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure it's been a pretty hectic week for you guys, all things considered.
Yeah, great being on your show, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess, we'll kind of start broad here. I know after the game, listening to your interview with Kent Pavelka, he asked you, coming off that Michigan win and, you know, the close of the regular season, just what the level of sense of accomplishment was for you and for your team, given all that you've been able to do thus far. Kind of what's the balance between looking back and reflecting on all the impressive feats that have happened to date, while also not getting too caught up in it and staying focused on the task at hand, where things get real now heading into March?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really fun season. And I know I talked a lot about this early in the year, that we had a group that was going to be very enjoyable to be around on a daily basis. And that's exactly what's happened. These guys have come to work every day, even after setbacks or after tough games. They still come in and are very resilient and get back to work and really start with preparation, which is so important to bounce back from games like that. And, you know, the way that we ended this season, I believe it was 7-8 at the end of the year, and getting two big road wins. We know how important that was. And that was a big narrative on our team, is we were really good in Pinnacle Bank Arena at home. But could we go out and get a couple on the road, you know, to really solidify the opportunity to play in March in the postseason? And that's exactly what our guys did. And it started with that game at Indiana, which was an unbelievable start for us, and then hit a huge patch of adversity and found a way to get it back going again, the things that had made us successful in that first half, and getting a big double-digit win on the road. And then following that up with the last game of the year, that was a really important game for us, that Michigan game, to go out there and get another big win against a team that's dangerous. They had been very close. And you know, I think the biggest example of that the week before was Purdue, where it was a single digit game all the way up until the last 2 minutes. And, you know, had a tie game with Michigan State with 2 minutes to go. So we knew that was a completely different team than the one that we faced at PBA a couple weeks prior because of Doug McDaniel being on the floor. So, you know, to find a way to get it going, and Casey obviously got us off to a great start. And we, you know, had a really good defensive effort in the second half to get that huge win, you know, to give us some momentum heading into Minneapolis. And as I've told the guys, I mean, you know, we don't have a lot of players on this roster that have played in the big tournament. And, you know, I'm very fortunate. I played in three of them. I coached in four of them at Iowa State. And there's nothing like it. You know, all the work that you put in, you know, the body of work over the course of the year, even going back to April and June when we were going through our workouts to get ready for our foreign trip to Spain in July, it's all for what we're about to embark on, is this postseason journey. And it starts in Minneapolis. And, you know, having the opportunity to stand on a ladder and cut down nets at a conference tournament twice, again, those are things you're going to remember for the rest of your life. And then the opportunity to play in March Madness is something that these guys will always remember, especially here. I think this is only the eighth time in the history of the program where we're going to have an opportunity to play on this stage and, you know, hopefully do something that's never been done in the history of this program. But, you know, when I look back on this entire journey, when we put this group together, I guess to answer your initial question, Robin, it's just been a very focused, driven group. And I think you've seen that. You know, we did not defend great in January, but when you look at our February numbers and the little things that we did to tweak our defense to give us a better chance to be more consistent and to be one of the top five defensive teams in the country in the month of February, that's what allowed us to go on a run. We've been a pretty solid, consistent offensive team, but our defensive turnaround is what is putting us in this position right now. So I've just, it's been a group that, you know, when I look back on my career, when it's all over, who knows when that'll be, but you know, this will always go down as one of the favorite groups that I've ever been around.
Fred, I was sort of irrationally interested in the Michigan game because of what you faced. I mean, it was a Sunday morning tip off in a quiet arena, and I really wondered what would the energy be like from your guys. What did you tell them? Did you address that part going in, and how much of it, how much help was it that Casey looked like he was full of energy in the early going of that game?
Yeah, it is something that we talk about, Steve. When you play those early games, the importance of getting off to a good start, and the team that comes out of the gate the fastest generally wins those early games. And not only the, you know, 11 a.m. Central start, but also you lose an hour with the spring forward. So really it was a 10 a.m. game
really
for our guys. And when, the one advantage I think that we had, we practice in the morning. And, you know, we come in, generally get started at 8 o'clock with a film session. And then our guys, go through their warmups, and we'll do some testing with the strength coach in the sports science department. And then we'll get on the floor, and then they'll lift. So, you know, we've had the advantage of practicing early, and we've played a lot of games at a lot of different times. Last week we had an 8 o'clock game. We had an 8:30 game, the week before that, PM on the road. And then you bounce back and play a couple of early games here. And that's going to help us in the tournament. You know, when I was at Iowa State, we won the Big 12 Conference tournament, and it was such an emotional ride. And we had played pretty much all evening games, 7 or 8 o'clock tips. And then they put us in the first game at 11 a.m. on Thursday, which isn't right. If you win your conference tournament, you should at least play a late game Thursday or, you know, even into Friday. And we got upset. And, you know, the benefit of this team is we played games at any time and every time. We had 3 5:30 games in our last three home games on Sunday. So, you know, that's going to help us. As little as that might seem, you know, to your point, Steve, when you have an early game and you have to come out and set the tone, it's exactly what our guys did. And I think the fact that we've had early practice times and early games really helped us in that area.
You're here listening to a special basketball edition of Husker Headlines, joined here by Nebraska head coach Fred Hoiberg. Coach, you mentioned just the tournament teams and March Madness experience you've had as a player and as a coach. What is there a way to kind of just explain the difference between the level of intensity and everything that comes with this time of year compared to the regular season, just the kind of win or go home mentality you have to have? And what about this group maybe gives you optimism they'll be able to handle kind of this new stage they're going to be on here?
Yeah, I mean, it's the reason you're in this business. It's the reason you play this game, is to have the opportunity to compete for championships. And, you know, you see it every year. There's 8, 9, 10, 11 seeds that are playing in the Final Four for a national championship. So it's really why you do this. It's why you're in this business. So, like I said, it's the fun time of year. It's like in the NBA. I'll never forget Kevin McHale talking about, you know, just the grind of the 82-game regular season. And then, you know, you have that carrot at the end. And then you get the opportunity to play in the playoffs and compete for a world championship. You know, here it's the same thing. You go through so much with, you know, the strength and conditioning sessions in the offseason, the 8 hours that you get four in the weight room, four on the court. You know, there's so much work behind the scenes. You know, people see you 31 times during the regular season in your exhibitions. And then, you know, all of that is designed to put yourself in a position of what we're about to go through. And, you know, I do like our team right now. We're playing the best basketball that we've played all season. And a lot of that has to do with the defensive identity that we've created. And that's what wins games at this time of year. And that's what has to continue to be our constant. The other thing that we can't do is go away from what has been making us successful. And sometimes when you get on the biggest stage, you get away a little bit and you try to do too much. You know, we're in a good place. You know, I really like the way that our team is competing and playing together right now. And I don't think that's going to be an issue But that will be stressed this, you know, when we get back on the floor starting tomorrow after the off day, is just continue to go out and be the best version of yourself. And if we do that, we're going to have a chance to do something that has never been done before in this program.
Fred, that defense, you know, I mean, it's, I think it's sort of defined by doubling the post, but how else would you characterize it? And who would you credit most for that?
Yeah. Nate Lenzer is a guy that I really went to, you know, Nate and I've been together for a long time. I brought him in, as my video guy at Iowa State. And then once I was able to get him into, you know, a full-time coaching position, it was one of the best hires that I ever made. And I took him to Chicago with me when I got the Bulls job. And then he was the head coach of the Windy City Bulls and did a phenomenal job there. So when he came back, you know, I really talked a lot about him, and he and I got together and really tried to put a defensive scheme that would fit with the players that we have on this roster. We don't have a lot of great individual defenders. Mm-hmm. We've got good individual defenders, but this is really a team system, and all five have to be in the right spot in order for this defense to work. And you're right, Steve, we do come from the baseline, which is pretty unique as far as our double team scheme. We always have somebody, you know, it's the opposite low man that is ready to come over and help anytime that we are beat. We do not want to get beat to the middle of the floor. We don't have, you know, something to cover when you have that type of breakdown to the middle. But if it stays on the outer third and on the towards the baseline, the sideline of the baseline, then we do have that built-in help. So that's really what we try to do. And then, you know, just all we do a ton of drills every day to really make sure that we're building the right habits so we can execute for those 40 minutes. And even, you know, when I went back and looked at the Michigan game, I talked about this on my post game. I didn't think our defensive edge was great in the first half, mm-hmm. but a lot of that, Michigan, it made a lot of tough shots. I mean, they made contested threes at the end of the shot clock. So it wasn't, which it generally it never is as good or as bad as you think it is. Mm-hmm. But I did think our energy was pretty good. And then we kept that. And I think even ramped it up a little bit in the second half where we held Michigan to 24%, 1-for-13 from the 3-point line. So, you know, these guys have been tied in, and, you know, I've been really pleased with how they cover for each other out there. And when you have a connected group on that end of the floor, again, you're going to have a chance most nights.
Wrapping up here with Nebraska basketball head coach Fred Hoiberg. One more for you, coach. You know, obviously we focus a lot on recruiting here at Husker Online, and just wanted to kind of look back on your experience when you have postseason success and you're able to like play on the big stage in March Madness. How much does that open doors when it comes to recruiting? And have you noticed maybe a change in how you've been received on the road during these off weeks and just the on-court success carrying over to recruiting success and maybe giving you a little more momentum that way?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it, Robin. It does help when you're on the national stage like this. And, you know, listen, we're in a great league that's got as much exposure as any conference in the country. So, you know, there is exposure, but when you have success, and we talk a lot about our system and our style, obviously, when we go into recruiting, and, you know, we've had a lot of players that have made it to the top level at Iowa State and Nebraska. 12 players in 9 years have made it to the NBA. And, you know, that helps, that resonates. But when you have success and people can see the style and the system, and, you know, there's a lot of freedom involved, and it's very much NBA style basketball with the 5-out spread offense, you know, then people really see what you're talking about. And, you know, listen, it's obviously a completely different dynamic right now with the portal, with NIL. But when you're playing on the national stage and your recruits can see that, that obviously helps. So, you know, we met this morning, you know, as we do often about recruiting and where things stand right now. And just want to continue to get the right guys in this program. And we've really built this thing, I think, with a group that Nebraskans and this fan base can be proud of because of how hard they play and how they leave everything they have on the floor. Generally, you know, it's very rare that we miss a loose ball. And it happened again last night. We were the first to floor on numerous occasions and got way more 50-50 balls, you know, than our opponent. And that's been pretty held pretty true for this group. And, you know, it's going to have to continue if we want to have success in March. But, you know, this is a group that I think our fan base, and I've heard a lot from the fans of, you know, a group they're proud of, and we want to continue on with that.
Fred, I'm old, and I'm old enough to stop. I'm old enough to have seen you play in Ames.
You are old.
Did you, all right. Did you see, did you play defense as well as Sam?
he got his mother's feistiness. Let's just put it that way. I was actually pretty underrated. I when you play at the level that, you know, I was very fortunate to play 10 years in, you have to have some level of defensive, competitiveness, or you're going to get embarrassed, especially when I played with the defensive, rules that were in place before they changed it now to the defensive 3-second. But, when Mikhail was here last week, you know, we were talking a lot about that. One thing that I had good hands, and I could always get the ball before when they were going up for their shot, because I wasn't getting it up top. And Sam's got way better feet than I ever had. His anticipation, his feet are as good as anybody, I think, in our league. I mean, he has really defended at a high level against some of the top players. Even looking back to when we played Michigan State and Tyson Walker, he was phenomenal there, helping out with Bryce Williams and Jamarcus Lawrence on Boo Booey when we played them at our place. So he's really found a role in a niche on this team, and he always understands the scouting report as well. He's a very smart player on that end, and the steals that he's come up with. When I look at last year, the Maryland play at the end of the game, getting the steal on the out-of-bounds play, even the high-low play that Wisconsin ran where he came over the top and got a steal. That's the play they run generally in the last possession, and he knew that. And he knew it was coming. So he's been terrific on that end. And again, you have to do something that will give you a role to put you on the floor. And defense certainly has been that for Sam. So yes, he is a better defender than I am, than I ever was, Sipple. But I wasn't terrible.
Right. Good answer, Fred. Good answer.
All right. Well, that wraps it up here with Nebraska head coach Fred Hoiberg. Coach, thank you again for taking the time. I know you're a busy man, and now the fun part begins, right?
Absolutely. Yep. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Fred. Take care.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Well, Sip, a lot to chew on there from Coach Hoiberg. A
lot to chew on. Yeah. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, a lot of that, you know, he's said before, but I thought he had some interesting notes in there as well, where what jumped out to me, like just first thing off the top of my head, was him talking about that this team and how they're built for right now, for March Madness, for the tournament setting and everything that comes along with that. And you know, they don't have a lot of guys that have played on this stage. I think Juwan Gary might be the only one that's been in the NCAA tournament, or at least played minutes in the tournament. But they're a veteran group that I think understands the situation and the work that is required for them to be successful and take advantage of this opportunity. And you know, I think that he made a lot of good points about just the mental makeup of this group. And I think you've really started to see what he was talking about with the way that they've handled their business down the stretch this season.
It's a mature, older team. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't worry about, I mean, the one thing I wouldn't worry about in an NCAA tournament setting or the Big Ten tournament setting is them getting flustered and losing because they just sort of lose their minds, like a young player might do. But it's an older group of guys that's, I mean, you see the poise. Like, you see Rink Mass poise. You see Bryce Williams poise. You see Josiah Alex poise. Casey is just hard to deal with. I mean, he's a hard guy.
He's cooking right now.
He's cooking. He was really, I mean, there's not that many players in America that can make the shots that he made in Ann Arbor. There's just not. Yeah. He's a very special shooter.
I made a tweet during the Rutgers game when they had cut the lead down to six. Then all of a sudden he scores like a 12-2 run on his own, seven straight points. Yeah. And I said that I've never seen a player that can instantly change a game more than Keisei Tominaga. And that's not to say he's the best player I've ever seen or the most dynamic player I've ever seen. But when it comes to coming out of nowhere and completely flipping the script within seconds, I've never seen any player do it. like the way Casey does it.
Well, how and
that's what do you need in March? You need playmakers.
Yeah,
that step up when in the biggest moments.
You can say a lot because you've covered this program since.
Well, for us, Husker Online, 2008.
2008.
8-9 was my first.
It's a long time.
But I was doing it with a DN before that too.
So it's
I was there for the Collier days.
Okay, that's a long time. I've been following
about being old.
Yeah, I've been following the program literally since I was 7 years old. Okay, 50 years. They haven't. I don't know that they've had a shooter like this. Okay, he might be the best shooter to ever come through here. Jerry Fort was a great shooter. Brian Carr was a great shooter. Jack Moore was a great shooter. They've had shooters, but I don't. I mean, explosive weapons like Casey that you just said can kind of take over a game. I don't know if they've had one like him. Mm-hmm. He took over the Michigan game early. He took it over. I mean, he got him out of the gate, and the array of shots he now makes is really impressive. He's not just a 3-point shooter. He has got a mid-range game and he goes to the rim.
Oh, yeah. You saw that in that Michigan game. He was attacking the rim.
Attacks the rim.
Like turning down open looks from three to get to the rim.
Right.
Like, that's a whole nother element of his game.
I kind of look at him like Curry in the NBA. I never would say Curry's the best player to ever play in the NBA, but he's the best shooter. I'd never say Casey's the best player to ever play for Nebraska. He's not, but he might be the best shooter. So that's
in the conversation.
Yeah. They got Fred put together a good team here. Isn't it interesting too, Rob? Fred's known as an offensive, almost kind of like wizard, but listen to him talk about defense.
Oh yeah.
That's what's probably turned it for this team.
He learned the hard way. Those first 3 years, he thought that they could just go five out, play transition up and down, just outscore everybody 95 to 90 and be fine. Well, that doesn't work in the Big Ten. There are very few teams that can play that way. Michigan State plays that way, but guess what? They're also really physical, and they have big guys that can bang and have that Big Ten toughness to them. Iowa is the same way, to where when they're at their best, they have that pace that and efficiency offensively that is as good as any in the country. But when they've been good, what have they had? Dominant big, mm-hmm. Aggressive forwards that can mm-hmm. clean up the glass, guards, tough nose guards at point guard. So that's kind of what I think Fred kind of learned, that you're not just getting the most elite scorers and trying to put them together mm-hmm. on a roster and say, go out there and play. You got to have an identity. And going back to two off seasons ago, when he kind of had to restructure his contract there and it looked like things were getting a little dicey for him here at Nebraska after three straight really disappointing seasons, they made a cultural schematic shift, 180-degree flip from what they had been doing. And it was based on defense, where you bring in guys like Nate Lenzer, you bring in Adam Howard, even Ernie Ziegler, guys that know what they're doing when it comes to defense, and they teach it every single day. And so that constant pounding of the defensive requirements that they've really been trying to instill, I think this is the evolution that you've seen, where you saw them kind of embrace it last year, mm-hmm. but now, especially towards this back end of the season, they've really kind of made that who they are. And when Nebraska, this year's team, is at its very best, they are playing elite defense. And when they play elite defense, they can beat almost anybody in the country.
You see it. I mean, a layman can see it. I mean, you see them double the post.
They jump passing lanes. They're aggressive on the ball.
They really rotate well.
They don't go under screens. They go over screens. Like that's the mindset. Mm-hmm. That is the difference right now. Where the first 3 years under Fred, it seemed like kind of defense was optional. I know that wasn't the case, but guys played that way. Mm-hmm. These guys aren't playing that way. And it goes back to last year. And Fred will always go back to last season's team and those seniors with Sam Griesel, Emmanuel Bandamel, and Derek Walker.
Ooh, those are defenders.
And really kind of being the first domino to fall mm-hmm. towards kind of embracing this new identity that Nebraska's really taken on. So they started it, but they had to continue it. And now you see Juwan Gary could be a defensive All-Big Ten player.
Yeah, he's really good.
Rink Mast is one of the better rebounders on the team. And Josiah Alec has really turned it on, to where he's not just kind of the occasional hustle play 50-50 guy. Like, he's cleaning up the glass, especially the offensive glass. He's getting second chance opportunities. He's being a tough physical scorer mm-hmm. through contact at the rim. And so those three guys have really kind of spearheaded it inside. And then, Fred talked about Sam leading the way there. But I'd put, Jamarcus Lawrence's defense has been really good. His offense has been inconsistent, but defensively, he's always been really good. And Bryce Williams's move to the point, when you have a 6'7 guy, 6'7, 210, 215, whatever he is, that's able to defend the ball coming up the court on every possession, what a luxury it has been.
I mean, he's long.
His move to point, to become the primary point guard, I mean, there's a direct correlation with Nebraska really flipping the switch and Bryce Williams taking over as the lead guard.
Yeah, he's excellent. The other thing Fred pointed out was the importance of Lenzer. It was interesting that Fred, I guess, singled him out. That's important. It's important for the fan base to understand. You do see Lenzer up exhorting that defense a lot. You can tell he's kind of leading that. So, yeah, you got to tip your cap to that staff. You mentioned the other guys, Ziegler and Howard, but Lenzer's evidently leading that.
Well, if you go to a practice, and I've been to a handful of them, I don't get to go to a lot, but the ones that I've been to, it's Nate.
Is
Nate's
it?
At the center of the court, running every single drill, making sure everybody's doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Fred gets involved here and there, but a lot of times he's just kind of overseeing and offering thoughts and, kind of helping transition from drill to drill. But when it comes to the actual on-court work on a day-to-day basis, Nate is front and center with everything that they do. And that's why Fred mentioned him first as one of the biggest reasons why they've been able to become such a good defensive team. A lot of it has to do with Nate Lenzer.
Lenzer should be
and
very
Adam Howard is certainly in there. His impact is really felt with just the schematics that he's brought, like the defensive ways that they play now, the different zones that they run, mixing in presses, and all the different looks that they've started to kind of embrace over the last 2 years. A lot of that has been from Adam Howard's background. And it was a big reason why Fred sought him out, because he saw Adam at a coaching convention or something where Adam gave a presentation about, it was just kind of his defensive principles. And Fred was like, whoa. And so then he went down, he was visiting his son down at TCU, Fred was, and ended up checking out a game when Adam Howard's at South Alabama. I can't remember who they were playing. Maybe it was UT Arlington. And yeah, his oldest son was playing. Anyway, he watched him and just really liked what South Alabama was doing defensively.
Interesting.
And so that kind of led the way to where, Fred knew he needed to embrace defense. So he went and got Nate and he went and got Adam. And then Ernie's been kind of the
cherry on top. And then meanwhile, you hear from coaches all the time that Fred's offensive acumen's through the roof. Good. And again, as a layman, if you're paying attention, you see the way he gets his shooters open shots, the way he gets Casey open. Yeah. Casey works hard to get open, but you can see what's going on a lot of the time, picks being set perfectly. Fred knows how to get shooters open. Also, what I've said all along about this team, what I immediately thought goes with defense. I mean, you have the defense, but at the end of the day, this is a team with multiple good shooters, not just Casey. They put shooters around Casey, which makes Casey even more dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, they can have five shooters on the floor at once. Yeah. And so going back to the kind of offense part of it, the center position has been just as critical, where they have had now two centers that can do things that a lot of bigs cannot do with the basketball.
Yeah.
Derek Walker was one of the best passing big men I've ever seen.
Could go left or right too, which
he led the team in assists and like he could beat guys off the dribble.
Yeah.
Off
left or right.
The key. Yeah. So, I mean, he kind of started that, but then Rink Mass has added a completely different element to even when he's not scoring, his facilitating out of the high post and his ability to distribute and let all those four other guards or whoever's around him kind of move as they want off the ball. And he finds them. That is when this offense is really humming, because then it's not just standing around waiting for a shot. You got movement and you got a guy that's your biggest player on the floor distributing from the top of the key. So that, from the offensive standpoint, you want to talk about the evolution. I think having that type of five man has been critical for allowing this offense to really come full circle.
And he's very mature, but this is a mature team, and Rink is kind of emblematic of that.
We're going to do our first ad from our great sponsor, Omaha Steaks. Sipple, I know you love steaks. I love steaks.
Yeah.
What better time than to take advantage of Omaha Steaks' semi-annual sale? Get 50% off site-wide and save on mouth-watering favorites today. Go to omahasteaks.com/Husker and shop the semi-annual sale, where you can load up on all the delicious flavor you crave at half the price. from their tender, juicy butcher's cut filet mignons, mouth-watering pure ground burgers, comfort classics, and easy-to-prepare meals that are perfect for those busy weekend nights. Plus, as an added bonus, you'll get 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers on select packages when you shop at omahasteaks.com/Husker. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. Endless flavor and endless value on incredible entrees, scrumptious sides, decadent desserts, and more. All of them are 50% off during the semi-annual sale, and every bite is backed by their 100% unconditional guarantee. Visit omahasteaks.com/Husker and get 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers with select packages when you shop the semi-annual sale. Hurry, because this deal won't last long. That's omahasteaks.com/Husker.
Good job, Rob.
Thank you. We're going to move on to our next headline here, which is the Big Ten tournament and Nebraska's draw in that. And I know there were a lot of people on Husker Online, Red Sea Scrolls message board, and social media that could not have been happier about Nebraska's draw as the 3 seed. Go back to that Michigan game. Why was it so important? Well, they got the 3 seed, and you saw why. I mean, they're the latest game of the day on Friday, so they get the maximum amount of rest. Mm-hmm. And they also get to play teams that, of the 3 potential teams they can face, which, as you see here on the graphic, the Indiana will play the winner of Michigan, Penn State.
Okay.
Nebraska's 5-0 this season against those 3 teams
combined. Hello. That's a good deal.
Including 2 true road wins.
So you're in pretty good shape, what you'd say, in the quarterfinals. The semis, you're going to play Ohio State, Iowa, or Illinois. Now, it gets a little more difficult, as it should. Those are all
Illinois to win the whole tournament.
I'm sorry?
People are picking Illinois to win the whole tournament.
Are they really?
Over Purdue. So, but you're in the semifinals of the conference tournament. You're going to play somebody good more often than not. Ohio State's maybe one of the hottest teams in the conference
right now.
Iowa whipped Nebraska by 18 points this year. It's not going to be an easy draw, but as far as the opportunity to win a game, have the resume, potentially vault your seeding in the NCAA tournament, and get to play in the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament, which the Nebraska has never done.
On a Saturday afternoon.
Never played on the Saturday
on CBS.
Of the Big Ten tournament on CBS. You heard Fred Hoiberg talk about just the value of being on that national stage. That's the national stage right there. So opportunity abound, and I'm with most people. You could not ask for a better draw. Indiana's kind of turned it on late, but Nebraska handled them both games.
That's
a great matchup for them.
Yeah.
Michigan is the worst team in the conference, so the odds are they're going to play the winner of Penn State, Indiana, and Penn State. I don't know.
Nebraska really handled them here.
Yeah, like
here's the deal with Penn State, Rob. Here's the deal. They're really challenged offensively, and Nebraska, I thought. I mean, I don't want to say exposed it. Maybe it's just a good matchup for Nebraska, but Penn State really had trouble offensively against Nebraska and PBA. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I mean, it's a very kind bracket for Nebraska.
Yeah, and so that game will tip off, as you see, around 8 o'clock on Friday night on Big Ten Network. It's going to be 25 minutes after the conclusion of Illinois' game. Whoever they play. So roughly 8 o'clock. And, like I said, that it kind of creates an interesting circumstance to where, like, I think Nebraska is going to leave Thursday, I believe. I can't confirm that now.
You would, though, right?
I think they're going to leave
Thursday. You wouldn't leave Wednesday, no. Right?
And then they're going to get there. So that basically gives them all day Friday to just kind of sit around for a little bit, which, you hear football teams when they go in those play night games, like that's kind of the hardest part is just sitting around the hotel. So they got to find a way to stay engaged, stay fresh, but just being able to play a team like Indiana or Penn State, that they're either going to be playing their second game in 48 hours or third game in 72 hours. That's such a luxury. And Nebraska, with the way that their schedule kind of shaked out, I know that the staff wasn't necessarily thrilled to have both of their bye weeks basically at the tail end of the season, including just recently before Michigan. But now you get an off week before Michigan, you play Michigan. Then you basically get another off week going into the Big Ten tournament. So rest and recovery, I think, is going to be critical because they are beat up right now, especially in their front court. Rink Mast, his knees, I mean, I see pictures of him like signing autographs and stuff. He's got two big old ice packs on both of his knees. Like he's just kind of, he's grinding right now. Mm-hmm. Josiah Alek is grinding right now. After the Rutgers game, he was walking around at some of the state tournament games with a big old boot on his ankle. Just totally
preventative.
Thank you. But you know, I think that shows you that he came here with bad ankles. And so he's feeling that grind a little bit. So while in January, early February, you would have loved to have a bye week as that grind was kind of really hitting. Now they get the benefit of having much needed rest, recovery, time off to get their bodies right going into tournament play. Because as you know, starting Friday night, you're not going to get a whole lot of breaks.
No. As far as the rest of the bracket go, are there, you know, you're just surveying the bracket. It's interesting, Rob. There's that narrative that the league is down. I get it. You know, we're probably looking at six teams in the NCAA tournament compared to the Big 12, probably getting nine. But I don't know though. It doesn't. I'm careful with that down conversation. Rutgers and Maryland are playing on the first day, 13 versus 12. Those teams aren't that bad. I mean, neither of them. They both have wins against Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Their teams aren't that bad. It's tempting to say, for instance, that Purdue has a cakewalk to Sunday. That's my initial reaction, but then when you think about it, I don't know. I don't know if they have a cakewalk. These teams aren't bad. Even facing Minnesota or Michigan State, those teams are capable of upsetting Purdue. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say anybody has a cakewalk, and I'm hesitant to say the league is really down. I think it's a little down. But man, I watch these teams and I'm still struck by their physicalness and their athleticism and size.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's going to be interesting to me is once Nebraska closes out the Big Ten tournament and gets into March Madness, what the officiating is going to look like.
You and your officiating. No, I'm serious. What do you wonder about?
Why do you think the Big Ten struggles in March Madness?
Why?
Because they play a completely different game because the officials in the tournament call games completely differently than they do during the majority of their season. The level of physicality they're allowed to get away with.
K-State Tominaga,
I'm curious to see how many fouls K-State Tominaga draws in that first game because he doesn't get any
Quite
they hold him, they grab him, they tug him, they bump him, they do anything they want with zero repercussion.
Yeah.
And so what happens when they actually get a different conference crew that calls those things?
Right. Oh, that's a good point.
K-State could have 12 free throws in that first game. I'm serious. Yeah. So like that's going to be a different element too.
Interesting.
Once they get there. And so we'll talk more about the NCAA tournament here a little bit later. But then I guess our next headline here, it's award season.
Yes.
Awards. Big Ten postseason awards that, you know, there's a lot of discussion about. I mean, I don't know if the top flight, like the first team All Big Ten, is really that much of a debate, but I think when you get into the second and third teams,
okay,
that's when it gets a little interesting.
You have a ballot, Rob.
I do.
You have a ballot.
I do have a ballot. And so I just wanted, for full disclosure here, full transparency, my first team All Big Ten ballot goes as, so basically I'll explain the format. They send you a list or like a little portal that you go in there and you're supposed to just click the first five players for your top group.
Okay.
And then, so like, then the next five and then the next five, and then it's like points awarded that they tally up through all the votes.
Okay.
And so therefore your first guys obviously get more points. So my first five, my first team ballot, Zach Edey, Braden Smith from Purdue.
Okay.
Terrence Shannon Jr., Marcus Domask from Illinois, and then Boo Booey from Northwestern.
Good. What would the debate be? Who you leave out? There's not.
I mean, with that first group. And so that's why that next, when you get to the second team, that's where the debate comes into it. And I did not have a Nebraska player on the second team.
Hmm.
My second team was Coleman Hawkins
from
Illinois, Elijah Hawkins from Minnesota, who almost led the nation in assists this year, Ace Baldwin from Penn State, who I think is the best on-ball defender in the conference, Cliff Omoruyi from Rutgers, one of the best shot blockers in all of college basketball, and then Jameer Young from Maryland. Third team, there's where you get your first Husker. I had Keisei Tominaga, and I had, let's see, who else? And then I had Khalil Ware from Indiana, and then Julian Reese, Maryland, Brooks Barnheiser from Northwestern and Tyson Walker from Michigan State.
I wonder if I
discuss.
Could, yeah, I if I were gonna,
who am I leaving out?
Nobody. I would. I'd almost. I think I could make a case for Casey and the second team over the Rutgers center.
Cliff, Big Cliff.
Yeah, who has trouble scoring. Had a good. I mean, he's a force.
I just think he's one of the best bigs in the conference.
He's one of the best bigs for sure. He didn't look like much against Nebraska in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a rebound until the second half. But I know his. He's powerful. He's a powerful player. That would be one. I mean, if I was gonna just challenge it a little bit, I'm just looking for ways to get Casey in the second team. That's what about probably
Rink. Yeah, Andy Katz had Rink Mast in his second team All Big Ten.
Did he really?
Yes. So that made me think, like, wow, am I just totally
no
hating on the Husker or what?
No, you're careful, and I appreciate that. Rink, I could get him on a third team. It's tough, though. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me that the first team is that cut and dried, especially Braden Smith. Now, he's come a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, over,
he's like a Bob Cousy Award finalist.
Is he?
Yes. He's one of the best point guards in the country.
That's a great combo they have with Edie and him. Yes. Because he wasn't – now, he made a big jump from his freshman to sophomore year.
He was good, but now he's really good.
Yeah. I'd say he's made a big jump for the first part of the schedule even. I saw him, and I thought he was all right, but now he must be playing really well.
Yeah.
That's critical. That's critical. But, no, I think your teams are – I think they're excellent, Rob.
Yeah. So
you know this stuff. You watch it as closely as anybody. I mean, you do. You see all the teams, and
yeah, a lot of it was just based off personal, like in-person observation. Well, I may have only had one Nebraska player on my All Big Ten teams, but I'll tell you who did get a vote from me is Fred Hoiberg mm-hmm. for Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. I think that you can make a case for Matt Painter and the job that he did at Purdue, where they were the gold standard in the conference from start to finish, and you know, really built that program into a legitimate national title contender. But Nebraska was picked 12th.
Yeah.
In the preseason projections. Mm-hmm. Nobody expected them to do anything this year. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that had to do with just unfamiliarity with the roster. Like, yeah, they brought back a good core, but nobody knew what Rink Mast was going to do, or Josiah Alec or Bryce Williams, or, you know, any of these guys that, you know, were going to be key members of that rotation. So I think just the unknown, I think, kind of tempered expectations for this group. But with the work that they've done, I mean, even the first part of the season, you know, they did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But I think what has really separated is how they finished mm-hmm. and the work mm-hmm. that they've done in the Big Ten. And you made the point, Sip, about the narrative that the Big Ten's down this year. Like, no, it's not. It's not down. It's the Big Ten. It's still one of the top three conferences in all of college basketball.
I'd be careful with that narrative.
Yeah. And so Nebraska has established itself in one of the best teams in one of the best conferences. Mm-hmm. And just to do that in this grind is nothing short of impressive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fact that they not only have surpassed expectations and put themselves in the tournament conversation, but they've become one of the programs of the Big Ten this year, which I don't think anyone could have ever expected going into the season.
No, they've won 7 of their last 8. I mean, okay, so I'd start with that. Then I'd go clear back, though, when, you know, to our interview with Fred talking about April and June, April through June, how they put the team together. It's not by accident that they have these type of players. Fred told us a little bit ago that they're trying to do it again, where they get the right type of guys. Mm-hmm. Robin, they got the right type of guys.
They built a culture.
Right, build a culture, but you can only do that really if you have the right type of guys. Rink is the right type of guy. Alec is the right type of guy. Gary's the right type of guy. Just on and on. I mean, Sam is a big part of that. Bryce Williams is a big part of it. I mean, you just go, I name every player. They just got tough-minded guys. Mm-hmm. Not perfect. I mean, these guys don't play perfect basketball all the time. Nobody does. But, man, you can – especially in the second half of the season, you knew what you were going to get, you know, game to game. And that's saying a lot about a team. You knew Nebraska, you knew what you were going to cover mm-hmm. With a couple minor exceptions, but you know, at Northwestern, they didn't play that well down the stretch, but what else? I mean, otherwise you turn on the TV or you go to the game, you knew what you were getting.
Yeah, and like that's not a Nebraska specific issue either. Like this entire college basketball season has been defined by inconsistency. Even Purdue, look how many games they've lost. I mean, it hasn't been many, but like they've lost games that they shouldn't have lost. So it happens, especially when you go on the road. So Nebraska did what it needed to do at home, but I think with the way they finally changed the script with their road success,
huge.
Say what you want. They beat Indiana. Indiana turned it on right after that game.
You win an assembly hall. Come on. I mean, that's an achievement.
And they took care of business in a Michigan game that, yes, they were 5.5, 6.5 point favorites in that one. But that was a weird game.
Weird game. That's what I said.
Senior day for Michigan.
Yeah.
10 a.m. body clock tip.
Quiet.
For that game. And yeah, the half empty arena. Like that.
It's a challenge.
It is a challenge. And I think that kind of shows just how far mentally this group has come, and that's coaching.
It's coaching. Also, it is coaching, but also Casey. If you watch that game, I don't know if he was making a conscious effort to show energy or if he just got hot and as a result showed energy.
They're usually one and the same. When he starts feeling it, then all of a sudden that energy just takes
Holy over. God, he was energetic in that game.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, he got him out of the gate. It was, like I said earlier, I just don't think there's too many players in the country that can do what he did in that game in the first half, score 23 points.
And like Fred's saying, Michigan was lights out. Like they could not miss either. Mm-hmm. Doug McDaniel hit 5 of his first 6 threes. Like they were
at 43 cooking. At halftime.
They were cooking too.
Yeah, but Michigan had 43.
But Nebraska never panicked. And a lot of that was because every time Michigan came down to make a big shot, Casey followed with another one.
Yeah.
And they were just able to go blow for blow. Michigan eventually lost steam. Game over.
Mm-hmm. Michigan always loses steam in the second half.
Yeah.
They're bad second half team. Bad second
tough
half.
Tough group right now.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
Yeah.
Finishing out the ballots, all freshman team. I had Owen Freeman for Iowa.
Okay.
Mackenzie Mbako from Indiana.
Okay.
Cam Christie from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Gavin Griffiths from Rutgers.
Yeah.
John Blackwell from Wisconsin. And my freshman of the year is Owen Freeman for Iowa.
Well, he was good against Nebraska.
And again, a lot of it is like when I watch guys in person, I see what they did. And the one constant sample was Nebraska. I mean, he took that game over.
Freeman has great footwork around the rim. He's a good shooter for a big. He's got great touch around the rim. And he runs the floor really well.
There apparently was a split between Freeman and Mbako and Christie, like within the Big Ten voting. Tough. So on Monday, they had us resubmit our freshman of the year voting just to like basically try to recalculate it. So
really
tight race. I went with Freeman, but you could easily talk me into either of the other.
Christie is interesting to me because he's a great shooter from the perimeter, but against Nebraska, he was really aggressive going to the rim. Mm-hmm. I like him. He's a great shooter, but I was really struck by his aggression in Lincoln. He didn't shoot the ball well. I think he was 3 for 12 mm-hmm. that game. Didn't shoot it well, but got to the rim a lot and ended up making some free throws that got his point total up there.
Got another Husker that I voted for as well, moving to the all-defensive team. Juwan Gary is on my all-Big Ten defensive team and really needs no explanation. He can guard 1 through 5. He's one of their best rebounders, one of their most tenacious on-ball defenders. He just brings that, like he likes to say, junkyard dog mentality. I mean, you talk about just why this team has been so good defensively. Juwan Gary is kind of where it starts, in my opinion.
They said on the broadcast that he's like Khalil Mack to this defense, the Chicago Bears.
I think that was Nate. He's a big Bears fan.
Yeah.
Nate Lenzer.
Is Mack still with the Bears? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know where the hell he's at. But that's who he compared Juwan Gary too. Juwan Gary means to Nebraska's defense what Khalil Mack meant to the Bears defense.
Yeah, they're a good defense without him. With him, they're a totally different unit. And just think back to that Rutgers game out in Piscataway where he just is running up the court, pulls up on his ankle, and you're like, oh no.
Oh,
blown Achilles. His season's over. Nebraska's season's over. How are they going to recover? Comes back in another like 2 weeks.
Was it 2 weeks?
Roughly. They had some time, I think, between games. But either way, the injury, thankfully, was not nearly as bad as it could have been. And that changed the entire complexion to where Nebraska was able to maintain being that elite of a defensive team. And it's really carried them down the stretch. So, Juwan Gary, you know, I jokingly said that Sam Hoiberg should have a conversation of that as well. Where, I mean, he'll never get a vote. But you want to talk about guys that come in and make immediate impacts. Sam Hoyer, like what walk-on comes off the bench in the middle of a game and says, all right, you're going to go guard the other team's best player.
They can shut him down.
Down the stretch.
Yeah.
And come up with big plays. Not just shut him down. Get game-changing steals, transition layups, mm-hmm. dive for loose balls to change possessions. Like, that's what Sam Hoiberg brings. So he didn't get a vote from me, but he has a vote in my heart. The rest of the all-defensive team, Ace Baldwin, who I said is the best on-ball defender in the Big Ten, Zach Edey, obvious, Omori, obvious, and then Terrence Shannon as well. So player of the year, Zach Edey, no brainer. Sixth man of the year, I voted CJ Wilcher, even though he kind of tailed off a little bit. I think the Gillis kid from Purdue is going to end up getting it. But when Nebraska, especially like in February, when they were really starting to click and you started to see them go from a competitive team to a really good team, CJ Wilcher was bringing it every single night, getting 15 to 20 a game and being probably a more prolific, consistent 3-point shooter than Casey was mm-hmm. at that time.
Oh, Wilcher can really shoot it.
So he, like, again, he's kind of gone through a little bit of a funk lately.
A little bit.
But he is a huge reason why Nebraska is where they are today because of his production off the bench. He was an instant game changer mm-hmm. when he came off the bench. So I don't think he'll win it, but he's got my vote.
All right.
Well, before we move on to our final headline of the show, I want to introduce another sponsor, Mando. My guys. Sip.
Are they your guys, Rob?
They're my guys. Okay. Hey, Sip, I know you can relate to this. You ever lift a little too hard or just forget to apply your daily deodorant and just get hit by a truckload of BO from all directions?
I usually don't smell, but yeah.
Does that 3-in-1 shampoo leave you needing a second shower just a few hours after the first? Well, from the founders of Lumi, Mando Whole Body Deodorant is helping men conquer their odor in a new way. Formulated by mandelic acid, Mando has long-lasting 72-hour control that actually stops odor before it starts. Best part is you can put Mando everywhere. Think about that, Sim.
I'm not.
To top it off, Mando's cologne quality scents were created with men in mind. Pro tip, try their best-selling scent, Bourbon Leather. Ooh, it's a game changer.
That is a game changer.
Once you experience fresher underarms and fresher feet, you'll never go back. With this special offer, new customers can get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code and link. Use code Husker at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. And take advantage of this exclusive offer for Husker Online listeners.
Mando.
Yep. That's the stuff.
All right.
So close it out here. We've talked a lot of Nebraska, and we'll got the Big Ten tournament. We're not going to count our chickens before they hatch here, but looking ahead past the Big Ten tournament, it is a almost certainty that Nebraska has clinched a berth to the NCAA tournament. Just looking at the latest bracketology outlook following Sunday's win at Michigan, Nebraska was in 108 of 108 projected brackets, according to Bracket Matrix.
Seems pretty safe.
TeamRankings.com gives Nebraska a 99% chance of making the tournament. T Ranketology gives Nebraska a 99.7% chance of making the field and an 88.7% chance at a at-large bid. So it's basically a formality at this point. I don't think the conversation is whether they're in. It's a matter of how high of a seed they could potentially get. And right now, going into Minneapolis, Nebraska is generally anywhere from a 9 to a 10 by most of the major bracketologists. You know, Joe Lunardi in ESPN has him as a 9 playing in Memphis. Jerry Palm, CBS, has him as a 10 playing Florida in Memphis. Andy Katz, I think his most recent bracket, had them as a 9 seed playing Texas in Salt Lake City. And then Mike DeCourcy of Fox Sports has him as a 10 playing St. Mary's in Omaha, Nebraska.
Could happen.
Could easily happen. And there was a lot of conversation, too, about whether the selection committee would try to avoid those types of placings, but really that only applies to the top seeds. Like, they don't want Kansas playing in Kansas City or, you know, those types of things. But when it comes to your 8, 9, 10, 11 seeds, they actually prefer it because they know it's going to sell more tickets. So there's a very good chance that Nebraska could be placed in Omaha. And I've seen some brackets where, want to say it was maybe DeCourcy's bracket where the second round potential matchup with Iowa State in Omaha, the Fred Hoiberg reunion game against his alma mater.
It'd be the hard. It'd be one of the hardest tickets to get anywhere.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, Iowa State fans coming over to Bratt.
Oh yeah.
I mean, come on, and it'd be hot in there. That would be loud and hot.
So there's a lot of momentum for Nebraska too. Like people want them to go to Omaha. I mean, I get it. Like that would be essentially like playing in Sioux Falls with the amount of fan support they're going to have there. So that's definitely something to watch. Not just what seed Nebraska gets, but what the location could be.
Rob, this is we just got to really enjoy this. Nebraska fans have to.
I know. It's been 10 years since we've had these conversations.
In now, legitimately, you have reason to look at the field. Look at who's hot right now, who's not, who's trying to get in the, who's trying to get in the tournament, who could fall out. Mm-hmm. You have a reason to look at it now. It's really, this is fun. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much, but a lot of these guys from Nebraska are back. This is something we might be able to get used to.
Yeah.
I just started looking at the national scene really today and where Nebraska might fit. And the one thing you'd say about the national picture is there's no dominant team, number one.
Nope.
There's not.
That was the case this year.
Yeah.
Purdue's your potential number one overall seed. Nebraska whipped them.
Right now, today, Purdue would be the number one overall. Yep. UConn would be two. Mm-hmm. Three would be Houston. And then four, Tennessee probably. And somebody else might be able to get who else would it be? Tennessee's not for sure.
Right now they're in that conversation. Then you're looking at Arizona.
Yes, Arizona.
Marquette.
Okay.
North Carolina, yeah. Iowa State.
There you go. The first three you can bank on Houston being a one, Purdue being a one,
UConn.
And UConn being a one. But I wouldn't say any of those teams are dominant. UConn, I watched Creighton dismantle mm-hmm. UConn in Omaha. Mm-hmm. We watched Nebraska dismantle Purdue and Lincoln. Houston, I haven't seen. I mean, maybe I just now, but I will tell you. I'll tell you what Houston did in their first year in the Big 12. They won it. Okay, they won the Big 12 in their first year, and Kansas, meanwhile, wasn't. Kansas has had kind of a down year.
For their standards, for sure.
Yeah, so there you go. There could be your number one seeds right there. And then from there, there's a lot of interesting things going on out there.
So to Joe Lenardi's latest bracket, he's the one that has Nebraska as a 9 seed playing St. Mary's in the 8-9 game in Memphis. Guess who the one seed in that bracket is that Nebraska would play in
UConn.
The second round? Houston.
Oh, Houston, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Houston, yeah.
Yeah, so tough draw there.
Real tough.
That's kind of like that brings up the discussion of would Nebraska rather be a 10 seed?
10, yeah.
Because then you avoid that second round matchup likely against the number one overall seeds. I mean, there's something to be said for that. But then you got to wonder too, like if they're the 10, what's the likelihood of them getting placed in Omaha? So there's a lot of variables involved there. I just say get as high of a seed and just play the hand you're dealt.
Well, and like Fred said, I mean, I read your story from the Michigan game. There's not pressure on Nebraska right now. They're pretty much in. They're going to Minneapolis.
Stress-free weekends.
Yeah, it's pretty stress-free. I think they can lose. I mean, not that they want to lose or any. I don't think they will lose in that first game in Minneapolis. But if they do, it's not something that would jeopardize their chances.
No,
they're in a good situation. They've earned it. And I think closing against Michigan was big.
It was.
Closing with that win got them to 3 seed, and it did take some pressure off.
It did. So because that, if you lose that Michigan game, then all of a sudden that door remains cracked open of, well, what if they go into Selection Sunday having lost 3 of their last 4 games, including at Michigan, the worst Michigan team in decades.
Right.
You know, and so that conversation now is closed. I agree with you. I don't think anything that happens in Minneapolis is going to dictate Nebraska's NCAA tournament fate. All it can do is improve their seed at this point. So it's fun.
Yeah, Rob, you've earned this.
And we're going to go out. So Sipple and I are going to head up to Minneapolis to cover the Big Ten tournaments. Mm-hmm. We'll be up there for as long as Nebraska's up there. And then after that, once Selection Sunday is here, we know our brackets, we'll be on the road.
Could be Brooklyn, could be Memphis, could be Omaha, could
Salt
be
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, God, Spokane.
Spokane.
It's pretty wide range of places we could go. I'm pushing for Memphis.
Yeah, you're big on Memphis.
Yeah, it's the barbecue in Beale Street.
I've never been to Memphis.
Oh,
I've never walked.
I will show you around.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this special edition of our Nebraska Basketball Husker Headlines. Robin Washit, Stephen Sipple, thanks for joining us, and more fun to come with Husker Hoops down the road.